remember when I was young, so were you. Time stood still, and love was all we knew. You were the first, so was I. We made love and then you cried. Remember when? Remember when we vowed the vows and walked the walk, gave our hearts, made the start, and it was hard. We lived and learned life through curves. There was joy, there was hurt. Remember when? Remember when old ones died and new were born, life was changed, disassembled, rearranged. We came together, fell apart, and broke each other's hearts. Remember when?
Something just a little unusual. Something a little bit mellowed open with tonight. But then you see, remember when. I remember when things were far more calm. Do you remember those days? Life goes on. Good evening. For those of you on the East Coast, or out on the ocean beyond it, good afternoon to the rest of you. Jeffrey Bennett here. A Thursday night installment of Perspectives on America on this 21st day of the month. I've got a week to take on a battle with my website domain hosting people. They're becoming greedy. They're becoming insane. I've got another option I'm going to have a talk with tomorrow and see what they can do. I've had enough. How y'all doing tonight? Interesting week. We had a pseudo election earlier this week. And by the way, I got a notification about an hour ago that there's been a threat against Donald Trump's life. We're sitting in the middle of, and I guess maybe it's been going on for some time now, a great election fraud. Manufactured choices, which are all making a mockery of this republic. Gene Sharp, a political science professor, recently stated that dictators are not in the business of allowing elections that could remove them from their thrones. Interesting. And whether one supports Trump or not, I'm afraid that so many that support Trump are only because they're so against Biden. But recently, the Supreme Court made a choice to ensure that Trump's name remained on the ballot. As I was publishing this particular article today, I came across a image that I have in my Federal Observer library, showing a gal probably from the 1940s during World War II, You can tell by the makeup and the smile on her face and the what she's got on her head. Making the statement that these newfangled electronic voting machines are swell. Counts your vote before you even pull the lever. You know, the high court's decree that the power to remove a federal candidate from the ballot under the Constitution's so-called insurrectionist ban theoretically rests with Congress, not the states, underscores the fact that in a representative democracy, the citizenry, that would be you and I, not the courts, not the corporations, and not the contrived electoral colleges, we should be the ones to elect our representatives. But unfortunately, my friends, what's being staged is not an election. It's a mockery of an election. This year's residential erection, much like every other erection in recent years, is what historian Daniel Boorstin referred to as a pseudo-event, manufactured, contrived, confected, devoid of any intrinsic value save the value of being advertised. So for the next 8 months, America will be dope-fed billions of dollars worth of political propaganda aimed at persuading them that, one, their votes count. Secondly, that the future of this nation, near our very lives, depends on who we elect as president. And number three, electing the right candidate will fix everything that is wrong with this country. God. Pretty incredible. Incredible, isn't it? In a country of more than 330 million people, we are given only two choices for resident. System is rigged, of course, my friends. Forcing the citizenry to choose between two candidates who are equally unfit for office does not in any way translate to having some say in how the government is run. I mean, indeed, no matter what names are on the residential ballot, once you step away from the cult of personality politics, we will all find that beneath the power suits, they're all alike. The candidate who wins the White House has already made a Faustian bargain to keep the police state in power. Come on, folks. We've been down this road before. Barack Obama campaigned on a message of hope and change and transparency, but promised to end, an end to war and surveillance. And yet under Obama, the government whistleblowers were routinely prosecuted. U.S. arms sales skyrocketed, police militarization accelerated, and surveillance became widespread. Trump swore to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C. Instead of putting an end to the corruption, however, he paved the way for lobbyists, corporations, the military-industrial complex, and the deep state to feast on the carcass of the dying American Republican, the Republic. Oh, my friends, we've been mired in this swamp for many decades now. Joey's been no different. If his job was to keep the deep state in power, he's been a resounding success. But then we also know that Joey ain't running anything, except when he's got to take a pee. Come on, follow the money. You follow the money, it always points the way. With each new resident for so long, we've been subjected to more government surveillance, more police abuse, more SWAT team raids, more roadside strip searches, more censorship, more prison time, more egregious laws, more endless wars. God, Joey's been good at that one, huh? We've been subject to more invasive technology, more militarization, more injustice and corruption and cronyism and graft and more lies and more of everything that has turned the American dream into this American nightmare. What we're not getting more of is elected officials who actually represent us. Come on. Dumb politicians are not the problem. The problem is the dumb people that keep voting for them. If their vote counts. No matter who wins these presidential election come November, it's a sure bet that the losers will be the American people if all we're prepared to do is vote. Because after all, there's more to citizenship than the act of casting a ballot for someone who, once elected, will march in lockstep with the dictates of the powers that be. And yet, as long as Americans are content to let politicians and war hawks and corporate America run the country, the police state will prevail. Total continuity. That's how Chris Hedges refers to the manner in which the government agenda remains unchanged, no matter who occupies the executive branch. Continuity of government, COG, is the phrase policy works used to, policy wonks, used to refer to the unelected individuals who have been appointed to run the government in the event of a catastrophe. We can also refer to it as shadow government or the deep state, which is comprised of unelected government bureau rats and corporations and contractors and paper pushers and button pushers who actually call the shots behind the scenes. Think of some of these people. My God, this idiot that heads up the operation that's allowing this invasion by all these illegals. Mallorca, what a piece of work. Whatever term we use, the upshot remains the same. On the national level, we're up against an immovable, intractable, entrenched force that is greater than any one politician or party, whose tentacles reach deep into every sector imaginable, from Wall Street, the military, the courts, to the technology giants, entertainment, healthcare, and the media. This is no Goliath to be felled by a simple stone, my friends. This is a Leviathan disguised as a political savior. So what is the solution to this blatant display of imperial elitism disguising itself as a populist exercise in representative government? Come on. What is the solution? Stop playing the game. That's the solution. Stop supporting the system. That is the solution. And stop defending the insanity. Just stop. Washington thrives on money. And they keep taking it from us. Stop throwing your hard-earned dollars away on politicians and super PACs who view you as nothing more than a means to an end. There's countless worthy grassroots organizations and nonprofits, groups like the Rutherford Institute, working to address real needs like injustice and poverty and homelessness, etc. Support organizations like Rutherford Institute. And then maybe we've got a chance to see change that we can really believe in and see it in our own backyard. There's another organization I strongly recommend supporting. They're absolutely amazing. I've done a lot of work with them over the years. Come on, come on, come on. I'm blanking. I'm having one of these name things. Tom DeWeese's American Policy Center. 30 years leading the fight for American property rights and sovereignty. I'm publishing more and more of Tom DeWeese's work because it means so much. If you go to federalobserver.com tonight, scroll down on the front page until you come across an article called DeWeese, radical greens launch a massive attack. I'm sick of the green battles. They're bogus. We're losing. In some respects, we'll talk about that here shortly. But keep in mind through all of this that politicians depend on votes. Stop giving your vote unless they have a proven track record of listening to their constituents, abiding by their wishes, working hard to earn and keep their trust. Let me tell you about a politician who absolutely blows my mind. Kind of a skanky looking guy. He's bald headed. Got a beard that's not too well trimmed. Had some memory issues, some health issues when he took up his position. I don't know if it was in the Senate or the House of Representatives. I can't remember. Came to work wearing Bermuda shorts. John Fetterman, Democrat. This turned out to be one of the biggest surprises in politics. Got one of the biggest voices of reason. Fetterman made a statement recently that we need to secure the border, keep our steel factories U.S. owned, and support personal liberties. Those are the kind of people we should be supporting. John Fetterman has earned my trust, even though I don't live in his state. You know, it's comforting to believe that our vote matters. But you see, presidents are selected, not elected. Despite what is taught in school and the propaganda that is peddled by the media, the residential election is not a populist election for a representative. No, it's a gathering of shareholders to select their next CEO. A fact reinforced by the nation's archaic electoral college system. In other words, your vote does not elect a president. Despite the fact that there's 218 million eligible voters in this country, only half of whom actually vote, by the way. It's the Electoral College, made up of 538 individuals handpicked by the candidates' respective parties, that actually makes the selection of our next resident. The only thing we're accomplishing by taking part in the reassurance ritual of voting is sustaining the illusion that we have a democratic republic. But in actuality, we're suffering from what political scientists Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page more accurately term as an economic elite domination, in which the economic elite, the lobbyists, the corporations, the moneyed special interest groups dominate and dictate national policy. And just as an example, one of those organizations, which I guess could be called a lobbyist, a corporation, or a moneyed special interest group, is an organization we talk about on Wednesdays in most cases, obviously not yesterday. The people who produce and manufacture our grossly overpriced drugs. The people that manipulate and control the medical system in this country. But there's no surprise there. There's been an in-depth Princeton University study which has confirmed that democracy, or should we call it dumbocracy, has been replaced by oligarchy. That is a system of government in which elected officials represent the interests of the rich and the powerful rather than the average citizen, and that is fact. And as such, residential elections merely serve to maintain the status quo. And once elected, that person becomes part of the dictatorial continuum that is the American imperial residency today. How do we prevail against the tyrant who says all the right things and does none of them? How do we overcome the despot who promises fade with the spotlights? How do we conquer the dictator whose benevolence is all for show? We get organized. We get educated. We get active. Something I've been trying to get the audience of RBN to do for one hell of a lot of years. Not just RBN. I started in 1995 broadcasting on worldwide Christian Radio. A very large international shortwave network. The organization I was broadcasting with, Viking International Trading, where I first began to work with Robbie Noel. We expanded out into satellite. There were very few broadcasting mechanisms of our type at that point in time. I provided the funding for the first Republic Radio Network with John Stabmiller. Republic Radio International. I still have recordings from that network. A couple of years into our situation, John and I had a falling out. We went in different directions. I basically was booted out of the network that I funded and put together. But those things happen. The network is eventually sold to a husband and wife. The husband had been a broadcaster on the network. I cannot remember his name. And the two of them split up. Partially because he was banging this young gal that had been a huge supporter of the network. And anyway, the wife took over Republic, changed the name. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. That's not the point. I'm trying to get you to understand. I broadcast with several other networks after my departing from Republic Radio International. And yet somehow, some way, over the years, John and I continue to find our way back together again. We split up in 98 and found a way to begin working together in 2005. And we still had an on-again, off-again relationship. Any of those of you who've been listening to RBN for a lot of years know that. There were times that we did international television, not RBN, but my involvement with Worldwide Christian Radio. A massive amount of stuff. All these things we've talked about that I've challenged and I've said to you many nights on the air, as I shared with you the phone call that I took, the last phone call I ever took on the air, when I told the guy, why are you listening 14, 16 hours a day? Pick out the 4 or 5 hours or whatever that's meaningful, that is putting out good, hard, honest challenges. Get organized, get educated, get active in your own home, your own neighborhood. These are the things that I continue to challenge the listening audience of RBN to do. You don't do it by getting entertained. Oh, it's not that there aren't times I throw a little bit of entertainment into it. I've got to lighten up once in a while, too. But here's some reality. Whether you vote, whether you don't vote, doesn't really matter. What matters is what you're doing to push back against government incompetence and abuse and corruption and graft and fraud and cronyism. Don't ever be fooled into thinking that the only road to reform is through the ballot box, my friends. Ballot box. If you feel led to vote, fine, but If all you do is vote, we the people are going to lose. If you abstain from voting and still do nothing, we the people are still going to lose. And to give your proxy to some third-party individual or group to fix what's wrong with the country, if that's all you do, then we the people are going to lose. And yet, if you are prepared to turn off your damn television, tune out the talking heads that are here basically to entertain, like the characters on television, untether yourself from whatever piece of technology you're affixed to. Wean yourself off the tit of the nanny state. And start flexing those unused civic muscles. Then there might be hope for us all. But to begin with, you've got to know your rights. And then put that knowledge into action. What we desperately need is a concerted, collective commitment to the Constitution's principles. Constitution's principles of limited government. Congress, the courts, the military, the police, the technocrats, the plutocrats, the bureaucrats. Answer to and are accountable to we the people. But secondly, think nationally, but act locally. Understand how your local government is structured. Who serves on your city council and school boards? Oh my God. The school board situation? We're going to talk about a little bit of that during the second hour tonight. What recourse does our community have to voice concerns about local problems or disagree with decisions by government officials? Are our local elected officials accessible? Are they open to what we have to say? Are our police chiefs being appointed from within your community? Who runs our local media? Does our newspaper report on local events? Who in the hell are our judges? Oh, we spoke about one of our judges last week. A judge who was appointed by Brock. And she's the one that has basically now allowed illegal aliens to own firearms. Don't you have to go through a process to be able to acquire them? Apparently they don't. But there's some more things you have to do. Don't stop doing the hard work of holding our government accountable. Do not let personal politics and party allegiances blind you to government misconduct and power grabs. And that means holding all three branches of government accountable to the Constitution. In other words, vote them out of office if they abuse their power. And all this will mean making the president play by the rules of the Constitution. But finally, my friends, do not remain silent in the face of government injustice or corruption or ineptitude. Speak truth to power, and that is exactly what I attempt to do on a continual basis. A healthy representative government is hard work, my friends. It takes a citizenry. Do you understand what citizenry means? It means we the people. All of this is going to take the citizenry that is informed about the issues, educated about how the government operates, willing to make the sacrifices necessary to stay involved. It also takes a citizenry willing to do more than grouse and complain. You must understand that any hope of restoring our freedoms and regaining control over our runaway government must begin and start from the bottom up. And that will mean relearning step by painful step what it actually means to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Something that our leaders, I'm not going to say they've forgotten. Those are just words to those people. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't give a damn about we the people. They give a damn about their pocketbooks. We've got a massive number of people right now who are not going to run for re-election. They're going to be stepping down from both parties. It's unbelievable. One of the biggest battles, not the only one, but one of the biggest battles that we're facing in this country right now is a bill that we're putting the bill for. We're paying for it. The border crisis costing the United States billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. Our elected officials are just ignoring it. Because they know in the scam of voting, a lot of these illegals are going to somehow find a way to vote. Even though they're not legally eligible to do so. Keep in mind, the ongoing crisis at the southern border is not just a security concern, but it's a major economic one. A recent report from Mayorkas at the House Homeland Security Committee put the total annual cost of illegal immigration in the U.S. at as much as $451 billion per year. And that includes direct costs like funding Border Patrol, along with indirect costs like law enforcement, housing, health care, education. Biden and his Democratic buddies have touted increased border spending as a solution to the crisis, but the numbers show throwing money at the border ain't working, Jack. A recent report on the economic impacts of illegal immigration reveals the number of border encounters has more than quadrupled under this current administration compared with that of the Trump administration. Despite the annual increases in the budgets for ICE, you know what ICE stands for, Immigration y Customs Enforcement, and let's not forget the Customs and Border Protection. Kind of a 1-2 punch of economic and security threats is particularly affecting border districts like South Texas Congressman Monica De La Cruz, who says the nonsense. Now, keep in mind, De La Cruz is Hispanic. And she says the nonsense of Biden with the destruction of our economy plus terrorists caught on our borders is simply unacceptable. She's a Southern Texas Congresswoman, Monica De La Cruz. And she's got a bigger pair than the average idiot that gets elected into Congress in this country. Then you go looking at Arizona Sheriff Mark Daniels from Cochise County. He says his community is bearing the financial and social costs of the border crisis when he states that over the last 2 years in our county, we have booked 2,884 people for border-related crimes, and last year we had 111 million fentanyl pills come through in Arizona alone. And he concludes by saying, my whole point on this is we are resource maxed out. I sit back and look at the comment about the 111 million fentanyl pills coming through Arizona. How many came through in 2003, 2002, 2001? In other words, in reality, my friends, illegal invaders were the cause of my son's death. So I think of the words of Sheriff Mark Daniels, because he warns there's only so much they can do at the local level to mitigate these costs without a change in federal border policy. He says states and local sheriffs are doing everything they can to secure and keep their communities safe while the federal government fails to even acknowledge it. He concludes by saying the federal government has abandoned us down here. The White House and Biden have abandoned us, and 51% of Congress has abandoned us. Then I have to look back at this quotation. I'll clean it up a little bit. This quotation is from a man named Henry Ford. No, not that Henry Ford, not the guy who brought us the Model A, et cetera, et cetera. This is another guy named Henry Ford, who stated that Barack Obama told us years ago that he was going to F America up, and he's using Biden as his ink pen to do it with. But we don't have them mean tweets anymore. Profound, is it not? How can people not get it? How can people not understand it? And every once in a while, something unusual pops up out of the news. This is an article that I came across less than 2 hours ago. I did not have a chance to get it ready for publication, but I'm going to share it with you now. Border security is swaying Democrats in this blue state. California Democrats, who represent congressional districts nearly evenly divided among the Democrat and Republican voters, are becoming hard line on the issue of border security going into this upcoming election. That is according to a report from the LA Times. And this was reportedly prompted by a wave of crimes allegedly committed by illegals, immigrantes. At the forefront is the death of 22-year-old college student Lakin Riley, who was killed by an illegal from Venezuela. She was out for a run late last month. And as a result, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Lakin Riley Act, which would require Immigration and Customs Enforcement to issue detainers and take custody of illegals who commit theft-related crimes. Theft? The legislation in the House passed 251 to 170. 37 Democrats joined Republicans in pushing the bill forward. Two California representatives were involved in passing it. Representatives Mike Levin of San Juan Capistrano and Josh Harder of Turlock, California, were among the California Democrats who voted for the Lakin Riley Act. And though both incumbents are favored to win re-election in November, Levin's district in Orange and San Diego counties is almost evenly divided among Democrat and Republican voters. Harder faces a challenge from Stockton's Republican mayor, Kevin Lincoln, in his Central Valley district. And while he voted for this bill, he says, "I do not agree with its language that injects politics into legislative text and wrongfully singles out the Biden administration for Ms. Riley's murder," he wrote. Levin is among a group of 26 House Democrats who formed the Democrats for Border Security Task Force this month, which was led by Representatives Henry Cuellar of Texas and Tom Suozzi of New York. The group aims to address a surge in illicit narcotics and irregular migration at the southern border. Now, after the House passed the bill, House Speaker Johnson called out the 170 House Democrats who voted against it. He said, sadly, if these Democrats have their way, there will be more victims like Lake and Riley. Ha ha. Wow, the guy finally grew a pair, huh? In an interview with NBC, Democrats for Border Security Task Force members explained that many lawmakers on the left are shifting their stance on illegal immigration. Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat from Texas, says it does not matter if we're Hispanics. We want to see order. We want to see security. Representative Tom Suozzi from New York said, Democrats have always been concerned about border security, but now they're being more vocal about it and proactive about it, and I think the president is doing that. Excuse me. That's bullcrap. The president ain't doing squat. Oh, I'm sorry. He's not the president. He's the resident. Profound, is it not? You know, separate subject. The word we. No. It's single. It's not we. I didn't get a chance to do that before I went on the air, so I'll take a break at the top of the hour. Come on, I got to get a little bit of joke in here once in a while. We is something that doesn't seem to exist in this country any longer. Think about this. Taste. Taste is a funny thing. Changes so incrementally we barely notice, except maybe looking backward over time. It's sad. Looking backward over time. I would like to think I'm looking forward, but in order to do that, I have to look backward to see how things could have been different, how they could have changed, how they could have been handled and manipulated in a different fashion. Taste. You know, for decades, used to be a very common thing. Love to go to movies. I've not been to a movie theater in over 5 years, maybe 6 years. Back in the day, you'd go see the big black blockbusters. I mean, I remember as a kid, I saw the Ten Commandments in the theater. Saw Ben-Hur. Saw John Wayne films, big films, little films. But oh, we just passed Academy Awards. What was up this year? Oh, I guess there were 10 films that were nominated for Best Picture. Used to be 5. My friend Leibowitz saw one of them, Barbie. And he suggested, he says, let me save you an hour and 54 minutes. It's a movie about a doll who wears a lot of pink, hangs out with a diverse group of fellow dolls. The men are dolts or oppressive. The patriarchy sucks. The movie ends with Barbie being dropped off at a gynecologist's office. I guess driving Miss Daisy it wasn't. Changing taste also explains why I passed on tuning in for the Oscars. I mean, for a good portion of my year, that was an annual staple for me. And then the show, the Oscars show, became a bloviating mess of woke preaching and Hollywood self-importance. I mean, you know, I don't know. Last year, the annual Nielsen ratings were crap. 20 million Americans either tuned in live or checked out the show on DVR within 7 days. Oh, I'm not discounting an audience that's equal to the entire population of the state of New York, but let's keep in mind that we live in a country of 336 million people, which means 94% of the United States, 360 million of us, can't seem to be bothered with this crap anymore. Keep that massive sample size in mind the next time you tell your kids that you're that everyone is talking about. Some influencer, a pundit, speculates which direction the culture is moving. Oh, television news viewing is another sample of our distorted views regarding the taste of the masses. The smart set talks often about how the right-wingers at Fox News dominate the cable ratings. Those people aren't right-wingers. On Stupid Tuesday, you know, this last week, when the night when more than a dozen states would cast their primary votes, Fox had about 3.5 million Americans watching during the heart of primetime. Left-leaning MSNBC clocked at about 1.9 million voters, while poor, confused CNN didn't even muster just a hair over 900,000 viewers. I mean, all this in a country of 336 million people, meaning that for about 9 out of 10 Americans, Super Tuesday was just Stupid Tuesday. About 4.8 million people watched Will Trent on ABC versus 3.5 million who watched FBI on CBS. The numbers are quite interesting, aren't they? Of course, neither one of those particular programs, I don't even know who the hell Will Trent is. A lot of this stuff doesn't suit my taste anymore. I'll watch an old episode of Law and Order. A lot of times I'll just go to bed early, which is about what I do most nights, ending in the letter Y. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oops. Yeah. I'm not saying that I'm right to ignore what's popular at any given moment. Rather, it doesn't resonate with me. I feel the same way about the two dominant political parties. Currently, 31 states, the District of Columbia, and the Virgin Islands allow Americans to register with a party affiliation. At last count, there were about 48 million Democrats and 36.4 million Republican rats. Then you got 35 million who registered as independents, and 4 million belong to a third party. Add it all up, you discover that being part of Team Red or Team Blue doesn't appeal to most of us any longer, which maybe explains why 80 million Americans, about one-third of the eligible voters, didn't vote in the 2020 presidential election. In terms of literary taste, I still hold a high regard for the preamble of the Constitution. You may remember it. The passage that starts out, "We the people of the United States." And then it goes on to talk about establishing domestic tranquility and the general welfare. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure there's a we anymore when it comes to America. We live side by side, but that might be about all we have in common. Commentary from my friend David Leibowitz. Interesting. The old Hollywood actor from back in the late 20s, the 30s, into the 40s, had a television show many years ago. Kind of a game show, as it were. Said that politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. The guy was, his name was Marx. Groucho. No relation to Karl. Ain't life exciting? Just simply appalling to me. Give me a few seconds here. A week or so ago, I published a piece on Sierra Madre precious metals, dealing with the cost of gasoline and how they're jacking the prices again and up and down and all around. I did it under the title, Blow It Out Your Gas. I published that title again, but this time not on Sierra Madre. It's over on Federal Observer. It's called Chapter 2. Oh, I opened up with the same comment about finding it. Did you find the title today's post-offensive? Blah, 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 blah. Not important. Here's some of the headlines. What does Biden's bid to phase out gas cars by 2032 mean for you? And there's a map up here of those states that are going to be the most positive about this stuff, and those states that are the least positive. The take-up of electric cars is stalled in many parts of America. Just 3% of new sales in EVs in some states. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. You got it, man. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Better headline. Makes no sense. Rage drivers about gas tax hike and new $250 EV fee is going to be rolled out in major U.S. state. Another headline. Biden administration sets to finalize major gas car crackdown over warnings from automakers and the industry, energy industry. Oh, this one came out late this morning. EV euphoria is dead. The buzz around electric vehicles is wearing off. Automakers are scaling back or delaying their electric vehicle plans. Oh, and finally, a Tesla owner was locked out until paying a $26,000 for a new electric car battery. $26,000 for a new battery. I just paid $190 some odd for a brand new battery for the car that my granddaughter drives, which is my car, but she drives it. I don't drive that much anymore. Not because I can't. Oh, no, I'm just too locked up to being on my computer and getting ready for this program and blah, 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 blah. $26,000 for a new battery for his Tesla. His name is Mario Salea. Now, he's a Tesla owner from Canada. His beloved $140,000 Tesla, a symbol of innovation, underwent a remarkable transformation after its battery met its match in time. $26,000. And he can't even drive the car because he can't afford the damn battery. Oh, Lord, ain't this fun, baby. I think we're going to bail out for some music here in just a couple of minutes. Don't know what you're playing. Don't much care. I think this nation, my friends, is running out of time. You figured it out yet? Too few have. Oh, that's cool. We haven't done that for a long time, man. The Hunger Games. The Horny of Plenty. Oh, Horn of Plenty. Okay. Folks, you have no idea what I've been through this week, and I need a little bit of laughter. It just keeps coming and going. I've been working my rear end off out in the garden. I, by the way, want to thank all of you who tuned in to yesterday's rerun program from October of 2019. when I was filling in for John Stadmiller. Hope you got... I received an almost immediate comment, email to that program. And it had to do with the speech that was given by Charles Chaplin's character in his film. Profound. We, by the way, also have that published, the video of it, on federalobserver.com for those of you who'd like to hear it again. I'm not talking about the program. I'm talking about the speech that Chaplin's character gave. Unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. Well, it's about tune time here. We're going to book out. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going down the hall. And, by the way, Chaplin's character in the movie, The Great Dictator, his name was Adenoid Hinkle. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly. Oh, no, we're still not there. I'm ahead of the game or behind the game tonight, something. I don't know. Oh, well, blow it out. Never mind. I can't say that. That's not nice. Yes, yes. Trying to see what else we got up here. Nothing else I want to talk about. We're going to make up some stuff for the next hour. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Illegal immigrant can carry guns. What a crock. Absolute crock. Stay with us. See a few. Second hour coming up.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.